Welcome, my friends. It is Thursday, March 8th, 2012. This is one of the most important editions of InfoWars Nightly News ever. Something beyond treason has been committed against our republic. The Pentagon, the President, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the Secretary of Defense have all told Congress they have no authority over war, and not only is the President a dictator, but the United Nations and NATO is his boss. This is a coup d'etat against our constitutional republic. We have detailed reports at InfoWars.com that we're going to be covering here in just a moment. Then Webster Griffin Tarpley, after the news, headlines, is going to be joining us. He's been to Central Africa. He's been to Libya. He predicted 3.5 years ago in the Obama deception that there would be a occupation of Africa through the pretext of humanitarian reasons. Here's a clip of what's coming up in that interview.
5 years ago, the campuses where Invisible Children is now recruiting and getting money were hotbeds of anti-war, anti-Bush Cheney, pro-impeachment.
Now they're taking the left over to make them pro-war.
Exactly.
The new anti-war activism is proxy war, proxy state, civil war, genocide, and the new trendy thing is to support new genocides because there's some phantom guy with 500 followers in the jungle somewhere. Let's kill another 7 mil. What a genius psyop to go into the foundation-controlled university left that has been sitting on their hands when it comes to anti-war and actually get them clamoring for war using different forms of propaganda and using a new boogeyman when the globalist stated agenda under State Department Memorandum 200 is genocide in Africa. That is coming up, and I'm going to give you a breakdown of the players there in those areas of Uganda and other areas coming up here in just a few minutes. And then John Corbett, the engineer, who has had over 1 million views in the last day of his video proving that the body scanners are a total fraud. He's now had media attempting to talk to him being threatened by the TSA. And, of course, they've banned and restricted his video on YouTube. Incredible information documenting the abuses and federal power grab of the Total Sexual Assault Bureau known as the TSA. That is all coming up today. But first, let's get into high treason and beyond. I got up this morning. I hadn't seen yesterday's congressional testimony. I went to the Drudge Report. I went to InfoWars.com, and I saw the Breitbart headline, Panetta, International Permission, Trump's Congressional Permission for Military Actions. Then I watched, we have a clip of that coming up here in a moment, a 7.5-minute compilation and couldn't believe it. Then I went into C-SPAN and watched over an hour of the raw footage. It's worse than the Breitbart headline. They actually say in there and are belligerent to the Senate over and over again. He says, well, you know, the Congress declares war. The Congress funds war. The Congress controls and commissions officers. And they just say, no, the UN and NATO gives us our authority. So it's worse than just the president saying, I'm a dictator like Julius Caesar in 49 BC and invading Rome with the military. At least he was Roman. They're saying, we take our orders from the UN and NATO, and there's Congress under law. And by the way, Walter Jones of Carolina and others have introduced legislation in the Senate to begin impeachment proceedings against Obama. So this is a big deal, but it's getting almost no mainstream media coverage. There it is. Resolution calls for impeachment of Obama if Obama does not seek war authorization from Congress. And you can go to Representative Walter Jones' site right there, top link. And he explains that it is a high crime and misdemeanor, is treason. And then he sources the Constitution. And that's LaRouche's site actually copied over what he had said. But you can actually go to Walter Jones' own site and read that right there. Scroll down and I'll read you what he said. Expressing the sense of Congress that the use of offensive military force by a president without prior and clear authorization of an act of Congress constitutes an impeachable high crime misdemeanor under Article 2, Section 4 of the Constitution. Go look it up. Whereas the cornerstone of the Republic is honoring Congress's exclusive power to declare war under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11 of the Constitution, now, therefore, be it resolved by the House of Representatives that the Senate concurring, that is the sense of Congress, expect in response to an actual or imminent attack against the territory of the United States, like ICBMs coming in. The use of offensive military force by the president without prior and clear authorization of act of Congress violates Congress's exclusive power to declare under Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution and constitutes an impeachable high crime and misdemeanor under Article 2, Section 4 of the Constitution. We actually have a copy of that bill that I covered on the radio today. It is there. The Senate's now signed on. We're going to play you a clip of that. Then we'll get into some of the other news on that front. But here are some of the amazing exchanges that took place yesterday that are unprecedented. Even when Lincoln basically set himself as a dictator and arrested members of Congress, he wasn't doing it under the pay of foreign powers. This has never happened in 235 years of this country. This is espionage by foreign agents.
We worried about international legal basis, but nobody worried about the fundamental constitutional legal basis that this Congress has over war. We were not asked, stunningly, in direct violation of the War Powers Act, whether or not you believe it's constitution. It certainly didn't comply with it. We spent our time worrying about the UN, the Arab League, NATO, and too little time, in my opinion, worried about the elected representatives of the United States. Do you think that you can act without Congress to initiate a no-fly zone in Syria without congressional approval?
You know, again, our goal would be to seek international permission, and we would come to the Congress and inform you and determine how best to approach this, whether or not we would want to get permission from the Congress. I think those are issues we would have to discuss as we decide what to do here.
Well, I'm almost breathless about that, because what I heard you say is we're going to seek international approval, and they will come and tell the Congress what we might do, and we might seek congressional approval.
No, well,
I want to just say to you, that's a big dish. Wouldn't you agree, you've served in the Congress.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree that that's would be pretty breathtaking to the average American? So would you like to clarify that?
But I've also served with Republican presidents and Democratic presidents who have always reserved the right to defend this country if necessary.
Hit pause. Back it up about 10 seconds, and it goes on and on. I watched an hour of this morning. And notice, they say, we might seek it if we feel like it. Last year, Obama launched the Libyan war, and we have links to that in our articles, to his statement. He said, look, I don't need Congress. I have the UN. So he's not just saying, as president, I can do this, which is treason. He's saying, I have the UN, I have NATO. And it goes on and on. And the senator is like, well, I'm breathless. I mean, our law, Congress commissions the officers. Congress funds it. Congress gives the president a declaration of war authorization and says, here's the mission. Now you're the commander in chief, in real time, making decisions within our authorization. Like, okay, go have war with Germany. Go have war with Cuba. But here's the war. Here's the aims. Now you execute with your war cabinet. Not just go in and do whatever you want. And by the way, the UN said we could. So let's go back to this unprecedented coup d'etat against America. And they're just seeing if they can get away with it. And if enough times they launch wars against Libya, Syria, whatever, and just Congress goes along with it, like Obama did last year, you know, pushing this, and now they're doing it again, then the precedent's set. And that's what they're doing. Here it is.
So would you like to clarify that?
But I've also served with Republican presidents and Democratic presidents who have always reserved the right to defend this country if necessary.
But you, before we do this, you would seek permission of the international authorities.
If we're working with an international coalition and we're working with NATO, we would want to be able to get appropriate permissions in order to be able to do that. That's something that, you know, all of these countries would want to have some kind of legal basis on which to act.
What legal basis are you looking for? What entity?
Well, obviously, if NATO made the decision to go in, that would be one. If we developed an international coalition beyond NATO, then obviously some kind of UN security resolution would be the basis for that.
So you're saying NATO would give you a legal basis? and an ad hoc coalition of nations would provide a legal basis?
If we were able to put together a coalition and were able to move together, then obviously we would seek whatever legal basis we would need in order to make that justified. I mean, you know, we can't just pull them all together in a combat operation without getting the legal basis on which to act.
Who are you asking for the legal basis from?
If it's obviously, if the UN passed a security resolution as it did in Libya, we would do that. If NATO came together as we did in Bosnia, we would rely on that. So, you know, we have options here.
We have options, and Congress isn't part of it. You see, the private six mega banks that issue the currency and credit of the planet out of a black hole, out of la-la land, they are already telling Europe, you have no sovereignty, it's transferred to this private corporation that takes you into receivership through fraud. England has 80% or more of its laws made by unelected groups in the euro. And so it's the same thing. He's saying, I go to NATO, I go to the EU, I go to the UN. And here is the Senate and the Congress, who are the bosses, who we elect, America. And they're going, you don't go to us? And they're like, no, we go to NATO or the UN. And the senator's like, come on, this is going to be a big issue. And Panetta and everybody just says no. And the general behind him sitting there with just total arrogance. And they had Dempsey on there saying the same thing. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. You can go watch the clips online. It is unbelievable. And they just say, no, you don't give us the authority. We might want to come to you, maybe, if we feel like it. This is how liberty dies, with a whimper, not a bang, if we let it. Our article's on this. Pentagon launches desperate damage control over shocking Panetta testimony. The United States has ceded control of its affairs to international bureaucrats, and they spin it and go, well, it was misinterpreted. We want the UN to give us the orders, and we think that's the authority, but we, you know, we'd like Congress to get on board. No, Obama said last year, Congress has no say. Just like Congress is a bunch of traitors, because they're part of the problem, ceded the NDAA power to Obama that he demanded to secretly arrest and kill Americans and launch war anywhere in the world as a global declaration of war without congressional approval in the future. Unprecedented. Here's another one. Coup d'etat, Pentagon and Obama declare Congress ceremonial. And that's what this is. Congressman Jones introduces bill that would subject Panetta and Obama to impeachment. Yeah, look, impeachment's one thing if you've got a power grabber. But what do you do when foreign corporate interest? See, we're used to fighting Mussolini or Stalin or stuff like that. These aren't guys in clown outfit, you know, dictator outfits, you know, that look like idiots. These are corporations and lawyers that come in. The New World Order is a corporate takeover. And they've got their corporate takeover artist, Panetta, from the CIA, former director with, you know, files on all these people, most of it made up crap, and hit teams. Most of the Congress is corrupt, and he thinks he can just barrel in there and say, hey, you know, shut up. You work for us now. You understand that? I mean, my God. He says, oh, NATO and the UN, which now have run the euro and are enslaving them. It's global domination by a bunch of crooked corporations who want to take all our property, who want to break up our families, who want to force prescription drugs on us. They're a bunch of wild out. They are the worst wannabe dictators I've ever seen in history. Okay? I mean, these people are out of control. And it's not like you can have Operation Valkyrie like the Germans did trying to kill Hitler. It's not like there's one bastard son of a bitch who's got to be dealt with. It's a whole crew of crooks that set up a giant, unconstitutional, global, out-of-control system. They exempt themselves from all the laws. It's too complex for the average person to get. And so they just get away with murder, but they may have gone too far, waddling in to those corrupt senators who at least want their power. And that's where the founders were geniuses, separation of powers. They knew that the Congress would be jealous of its power with the president. And that's why there's checks and balances on the judiciary, the legislative, and the executive. And the biggest check is us. But let me tell you, I've never seen anything like this. They usually build world government, unconstitutional military operations quietly. But they're, I hate to use this on a family show, but it's all it is. It's like when a dog goes and pees on a smaller dog. I mean, basically, Panetta just stood up and urinated all over the Congress and said, you don't count, I go to the UN, I go to the World Trade Organization, I go to the IMF, I go to the World Bank, I go to NATO, which is a totally private corporate consortium run by central banks. So you got a central bank operative, just like Romney and Obama, all of them paid for, in there with a straight face going, no, I don't come to you, because the bankers want our 50,000 nukes. They want our weapons. They want everything. They want to occupy our country. They got the TSA out there training us that they can grab our genitals. I mean, it's an outrageous tyranny. And do not say you weren't warned. Okay. Let me give you a little bit of background on this. Obama to Boehner, Speaker of the House, Boehner, on Libya. The UN gave us the okay. Remember, this is how the Washington Times. Again, we've got copies of the letter where Obama said it's his right to do all of this. But I want to shift gears. You remember last year when they launched the peace bombing of Libya, which it was admitted now to be a plan to destabilize all of Africa? You remember Obama? He said on record, I don't need Congress or anybody else. I've got the UN. I can attack whoever I want because it's peace bombs. Here's a clip.
Today, in his press conference, the president made clear that he believes the law does allow him to make this commitment on his own. Listen to this for a moment, if you would.
I'm not a Supreme Court justice, so I'm not going to put my constitutional law professor hat on here. Do I think that our actions in any way violate the War Powers Resolution? The answer is no. So I don't even have to get to the constitutional question.
Simply, sir, what's your reaction?
That's a horrible statement.
Well, not if you're a tyrant. And now you got the Secretary of Defense telling Congress, you don't run jack squat. We don't ask for nothing. We got the UN, buddy. Incredible. There's a new boogeyman, Joseph Kony, worse than Iraqi WMDs. Give up all your rights. Launch big wars. It's peace.
Whether or not we would want to get permission from the Congress, I think those are issues we would have to discuss as we decide what to do here.
Well, I'm almost breathless about that, because what I heard you say is we're going to seek international approval, and they will come and tell the Congress what we might do, and we might seek congressional approval.
Oh! Special forces attacks.
Put my constitutional law professor hat on here. Do I think that our actions in any way violate the War Powers Resolution? The answer is no. So I don't even have to get to the constitutional question.
Simply, sir, what's your reaction?
That's a horrible statement.
And he's got a Odinga Islamic alliance to crush the Christians in Kenya, but this also reaches into Ethiopia, it reaches into Uganda, Congo, Tanzania, and a whole bunch of other countries in that region. So all of Africa is a battlefield in flames between the U.S. and the Chinese, with Obama leading the charge to kick the Chinese out.
Well, in the last 3 days, I've seen 37 million views of Kony 2012. And everybody's saying, man, Alex, you got to get behind a war, an invasion in the middle of Africa. I mean, after all, the children are being enslaved. And there's a group called Invisible Children that wants to have a military invasion against Joseph Kony, who I've researched for years, there in Uganda. Well, there's a problem here. I've looked into Joseph Kony years ago. He's obviously another warmonger, bad guy. But the actual president of Uganda has been involved in genocides of over 7 million people. And best I can tell, Joseph Kony might have a couple thousand followers, 200 to 400, max 500 soldiers. Maybe 100,000 they've killed in a couple decades. I mean, the point is, he's like Saddam beat the brains out of babies in incubators in Kuwait. They admit that's PR, wasn't true. Or they've got this Syrian guy who they're saying there's all these massacres. That's now admitted to be fake. Or you've got the claim that Gaddafi's people were racing around raping women fueled by Viagra. Wasn't true. And they admit that 40,000 plus people are dead, including most of them black Africans in Libya, and that they're using Al-Qaeda there. And in Syria, the West doesn't want to bring liberty to Syria. They want to destabilize that country and use Al-Qaeda to do it. This is all on record. And I know about Rwanda. I know about the Hutus and the Tutsis. I know about what's happening in Uganda. I've researched this. And I predicted with my guests and researchers in the Obama deception 3.5 years ago that they would invade Libya, that they would invade Uganda, that they would go after all of these different organizations. And that has now happened. That has now happened with the Lord's Resistance Army, all of it. They sent in special forces last year trying to kill them. So remember, when the West and the corrupt interests that run this country say they want to invade an area to stop a human rights disaster, I have examples from just last year in the Ivory Coast of Africa, where they admit that the UN killed tens of thousands of people to overthrow the elected government there in the Ivory Coast. So we've seen this over and over again. Just last April, close to a year ago, the UN on record was backing rebels, attacking the government and killing tens of thousands, mainly Christians. But don't worry, the BBC said the UN would investigate that. And then Obama launched his own attack in Uganda in Central Africa. My point is, the people controlling our society could care less about human rights events or violations or genocide. In fact, they're funding it. And when I saw the group Invisible Children with all these movie stars and all these groups come out with basically a pro-war, pro-invasion call, and their film got 37 million views in just 3 or 4 days, and I saw the State Department behind it and all this propaganda and members of Congress pushing it, I knew that something was going on, just like the babies in the incubators, all of it. This has nothing to do with actually trying to help people there. Am I saying that the group they want to fight is good? No. But what I'm saying is we hear about this 2012 movement against Kony, and it's nothing but using him as a convenient boogeyman when he's a minor player in the overall larger system as a pretext to invade these countries. And I've had young people, a lot of my young listeners, who are waking up but are still somewhat naive. They're being shown this in public school. They're calling me. They're saying, they're hurting children. They're enslaving children. We've got to get behind war. And the biggest issue here is the system is using the foundation-controlled left and the normal avenues that are promoting anti-war now as a pro-war activism and a pro-war hysteria, and that's what this is, and it's being promoted by the system to invade and take over Central Africa and also invade out of Libya and North Africa. AFRICOM. All of this was predicted in my film released 3.5 years ago, The Obama Deception. Let's go ahead and go to a clip of that before we go to Webster Tarpley.
Obama basically does a couple of things. One is, again, this idea, kick the Chinese out of Africa. Kick them out of Sudan where they get oil. Kick them out of Zimbabwe where they get raw materials. Start a civil war in Congo, another big source of raw materials. Al-Qaeda, an arm of the U.S. intelligence community, is now active in Algeria, Tunisia, Morocco. You've got a destabilization going on in Kenya around Odinga. That's Obama's cousin. This is a guy who has two children. They're Obama's niece and, nephew in a broad sense. And one of them is named Raul, and the other one is named Winnie, after Winnie Mandela, who did the necklacing and political assassinations in South Africa. So this Odinga is essentially a CIA destabilizing operation in Kenya, and he's got a Odinga Islamic alliance to crush the Christians in Kenya. But this also reaches into Ethiopia, it reaches into Uganda, Congo, Tanzania, and a whole bunch of other countries in that region. So all of Africa is a battlefield in flames between the U.S. and the Chinese, with Obama leading the charge to kick the Chinese out for geopolitical reasons.
Now, again, the establishment has the controlled neocon right calling for war, the controlled left, George Clooney, all of them. We've got to invade Sudan. They're attacking the Christians while the U.N.'s actually slaughtering them. We've got to invade Uganda so they can have the Muslim groups kill the Christian groups that are rebels. There's all sorts of barbarism going on here. But I had a caller when Obama was just president-elect, before he was even in office in January of 2009, who called in and broke it all down, that Obama is just the African face on this neo-colonial imperialism. Again, I want to stop genocide. I'm for the little guy. But when I see a big Hollywood-financed movement lecturing everyone that we've got to have an invasion and all of the regular peace groups calling for war, we know about the State Department using Twitter and Facebook. We know this is their new model, getting the swarming adolescents involved in all of this. Let's go to that clip of the caller.
They put the face of Barack Obama as part of their public relations because it's like in the old folk tales about vampires. A vampire cannot force his way into somebody's house. It's against some kind of metaphysical law. So the vampire has to persuade the resident of the household to open the door and invite him in. So they're going to look at the people at Barack Obama, which looks like them and appears to be on their side. They're going to say, okay, here's my ally. Let me open the door and let me let this person in. And then Barack Obama is just, of course, a front man for the American empire, where he's going to have the entire U.S. Navy, the entire U.S. Army, and the entire U.S. Marines under AFRICOM command. And, of course, he's going to turn it into a new Iraq, and he's going to turn it into a new Afghanistan. Everything, every operation that you see going on in Iraq and Afghanistan is going to propagate to the poor countries of Africa.
But they're fighting Joseph Kony, who controls a few hundred square miles and maybe has 500 fighters. I mean, you know, the dictator that the West props up over Uganda, sure, he killed 7 million, but that doesn't matter. There's proof that one little warlord might have been involved in some type of corruption. And remember what the UN has done, the sex trade in Africa, all of it. This whole invisible children thing is just a way to get all the anti-war trendies to get into, hey, let's have a war. And mark my words, all you trendies that support this and support this film, and they may be useful idiots, they may be operatives, I don't know. When it's all done, it'll be in the scholarly publications, but it's going to be there, that millions are going to die if you're successful. So the media and the Hollywood stars and the trendies and the anti-war groups are like, invade Africa, defeat this little warlord, back the genocide leader of Uganda, attack Libya, ah! The blood's on your hands. Just like the communists that supported Lenin and Stalin. Now I want to go ahead and point out to you that Obama is launching all of these wars in Libya, Syria, Central Africa, everywhere, without congressional approval, and our system of checks and balances is in the crapper. This is incredible. With more on that, we go to Webster Griffin Tarpley, who predicted all of this in the Obama deception. Well, you've just seen the tape. 3.5 years ago, Dr. Webster Griffin Tarpley, doctor of history, he's also an economist, predicted this invasion of the continent of Africa via the pretext of humanitarian intervention. And we have seen Libya shattered. He traveled there and was there under the bombardment. First reported, months before it came out, the massacre of black Libyans by the Arab al-Qaeda forces brought in. He predicted the attack on Syria using al-Qaeda. That's now happening. And that McCain and others would call for bombardments that are just days or weeks away. Now, I've done a lot of research to be able to cover this subject, but nothing compared to Webster. But what the establishment's planning on doing is more divide and conquer in Africa. And something bigger than the Congo wars that conservatively killed 8 million people or so. You know, you always hear about the Rwandan massacres. That was just one part of a larger constellation of mass murder that went on, all under the UN's auspices. And, of course, you know, earlier I went over a few articles from just last year. We'll talk more about these with Webster in a moment. where they send the UN into Ivory Coast, you name it, slaughtering tens of thousands and admitting they are. And it's almost always Christians. So it's all part of igniting Christian-Muslim infighting. As Tarpley said 3.5 years ago, kicking the Chinese out of the area. They're trying to use development, not military invasion, as a way to get the natural resources. And we see this new Kony 2012. And I'm not saying that Joseph Kony is some wonderful angel. The point is that the larger military that controls the country that he's in, that is fighting against the Lord's Resistance Army in Uganda, is one of the main command bases for AFRICOM to expand the overall destabilization and genocide program that is the official U.S. government policy of State Department Memorandum 200 by Henry Kissinger, saying use war, use famine, use balkanization, use other things to reduce population and industrialization in Africa, from 1973. So this is part of a larger strategy or stratagem. And again, I'm not making moral judgments here on the face of it. I'm not saying the Serbs were wonderful angels, but that whole NATO attack and invasion was about balkanizing, bombing infrastructure, controlling drug routes, giving the Muslim extremists control of Albania. Same thing there. But here, they're getting ready for major genocide, and you heard it here first. It's going to be huge. It was earlier today, of course, I got a call from one of the people that works here, a young daughter, a teenager, saying, oh, my gosh, you know, there's this Kony 2012. It's had 37 million views in just 3 days. And then, sure enough, I went and researched it. It's this giant call for war. In fact, they have graphics in here on the site saying something that Republicans and Democrats can both agree on. Let's aid the children, because Kony is grabbing them and using them as soldiers. Well, all of Africa does that. The UN does that. The UN's been caught raping them everywhere. The point is, this is part of a larger program. It has nothing to do with the children. Remember, there were the people with Viagra raping the children in Libya? All lies. Saddam throwing babies out of incubators? All lies, admitted. Assad massacres, almost completely exaggerated, with al-Qaeda forces attacking and now caught staging shootings on CNN. This is all blowing up. So it's a pretext, just like I read the quote earlier with William Randolph Hearst, the owner of the Hearst Empire, saying, look, Remington Painter, you supply the paintings, the pictures, I'll supply the war. Okay, so that's what's happening here. And you better believe, when they're done getting all the trendies clamoring and the children, you know, the young people, save the children over there, we're children. Of course, they're, again, the propaganda of the Pentagon and the globalists is now targeting American and Western children. They know the adult world's woken up, so now through social networks, all the things they control, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, the places where we're censored, they are just going in and saying, get behind war, and all these bizarre posters about demand war, demand invasion. And we saw Obama in an exploratory operation, London Telegraph reported on, Obama deploys U.S. Special Forces to Central Africa. That they tried that and they failed. And other investigative reporters that have gone over there to cover this, they die. But these other folks putting out this Kony 2012, they were able to be there for years and get all this useful material. They may be useful idiots, but bottom line, I know packaged propaganda when I see it. And I know the West policy to genocide Africans and to give them those special vaccines where half of them get HIV. So I know the score. When the West wants to help Africa, like Bill Gates and his GMO, look out. Dr. Tarpley, again, I've tried to go over some of this here, but it is mind-blowing to see how they use Twitter, Facebook to overthrow their old dictator in Egypt, and then now things are 10 times worse. To overthrow a guy who'd made deals with them, Gaddafi, now things are 20 times worse. No one debates that. With Assad, I mean, this is order out of KO. You have studied Africa like no one else I know. You've been there many times. You predicted it in the Obama deception. Everything is happening as you said it would. What's really going on here?
Well, I think there are really two sides to this. One is the strategic reality of what the U.S. and the British are doing in Africa. And then there's this viral video, right, from the Invisible Children organization with movie stars and political influentials, and how they're trying to create an actual war hysteria in the American people, which I think can be applied to Africa and also some other places. Let's just take a look at Uganda, which is where this is focused. For the past 25 years or so, since Yoweri Museveni became the dictator of Uganda, and he's a dictator. He's been there for 26 years, right? He's up there with Mubarak and some other people. You never hear that as a complaint, though. He's a great guy. We don't even hear a word about him. Museveni has been the dictator of Uganda since about 1986. And as a result of his rule, which is already with many atrocities and human rights abuses, there's a resistance movement in the northern provinces, which are inhabited by the Acholi people. And that takes this monstrous form of the Lord's Resistance Army under Joseph Kony. And Kony is the figure that is demonized in this film. Now, Kony, one may well say, deserves all the demonization he gets. I think in this case that may well be true. But Kony is not the main story in Uganda, right? Kony has been out of it for several years, as far as I can see, for the last 4 or 5 years. Kony has been nowhere.
Exactly. So to be clear, it's a larger region. We've already had massacres in one case, 7 million, a million in another area, with all these different groups. He's a very minor player. He's just the war hysteria person to be demonized as the pretext for AFRICOM to really pour in and prop up the dictator.
Right. It's a very incongruous choice because he's out there in the bush with a couple of hundred followers. Now, he's undoubtedly got child soldiers. It's undoubtedly hell on earth for the people that are there. But you look at this film and you see, what are their demands? What do they think should happen? These invisible children and the TRI group and their backers, right? Who are their backers? Ocampo, the imperialist stooge who runs the International Criminal Court. He'll indict anybody you want, right? Milosevic, General Bashir of Sudan. How about Bush and Cheney? Ever indict them? Oh, no, not Ocampo. And then we've got a reactionary Republican like Senator Inhofe. Looks like we've got Senator Kerry interested in it. We've got some of these other warmonger hack politicians that we know so well. So the idea, though, is the Ugandan army has to be strengthened. Strengthen the Ugandan army. Are we nuts? The Ugandan army is a party to the biggest genocide in the world since the Second World War, which is the Congo War. The Congo War from the late 90s until, say, the middle of the past decade killed something like 7 or 8 million people, and Uganda invaded Congo and carved out about a third of the country with unbelievable atrocity. So you'd really say between Kony and the Ugandan army, the much bigger war criminal, the wholesalers of genocide, are the Ugandan army and not Kony. Now, this is he would be a retailer, of course, and that's very serious. Uganda has always been the British enforcer, the British U.S. enforcer in this part of the world. I remember visiting Khartoum in the Sudan 15 or more years ago, and the information minister showed me boxes of weapons that had been used to try to foment a rebellion in southern Sudan, right? What you see now as southern Sudan, the area around Juba. And it said, these boxes said, Defense Ministry of Uganda, Kampala, Uganda. So they'd been supporting this. And this entire story of the massacre of the Tutsis in the mid-1990s, Museveni and his group also very much implicated in that story. So if you look at this entire area, it is a horrendous human rights hell on earth, really. In Uganda itself, about 40% of the people live on less than €1 a day. So there's tremendous poverty, right? You'd think they might say something about that. All of these other countries that were involved in that war, and now, of course, new wars are starting up. The common denominator of all these wars, really, is that the U.S. and the British want to drive the Chinese out of Africa, and in particular, this strategically important area, right? This is one of the main concentrations in the world of strategic minerals and strategic raw materials.
Well, mainly rare earth minerals, key things that are needed in electronics. But let's expand on that. People say, well, good, America's defending its interest. These are globalists that actually shut down our industry and pay to move it offshore. So they're just using America's muscle. But that's exactly my point. obviously, this group, this Lord's Resistance Army, from my research, is involved in some criminal activities and some some massacres. But it's a tiny, as you said, maximum a few thousand followers, a few hundred soldiers. It's literally a red herring pretext to go in. Same story we've seen, babies incubators, raping the women and children, you know, fueled by Viagra, totally fake, Assad massacres.
Damascus. Don't forget gay girl in Damascus.
Gay girl in Damascus.
By the way, Bouazizi, when I was just in Iran, I talked to a Tunisian filmmaker. He explained that the whole Bouazizi story, right, the Tunisian fruit vendor, that's a fraud too. So they're all frauds. But it's copper, cobalt, uranium, gold, magnesium, tin, plus these other ones that molybdenum and these really exotic rare earth elements. So then you go a little bit further south.
But again, let me stop you, Webster, because we need to look at the larger image here. You predicted all of this. They've gone into Libya, wrecked everything, exactly as you said they would, racial massacres, everything. Where's the Hollywood people on this? Where's the film? Where's the 37 million views in 4 days? You can see the system behind this, who we know wants to genocide in Africa. So, again, the filmmakers may be useful idiots. I just see establishment fingerprints all over this. What's the larger AFRICOM plan? What do they want to do to Africa?
It is to lay waste to the continent, to destroy every independent state, sort of on the Libyan model, right? Libya, the eastern part of Libya has just declared its sort of semi-independence, and that could be a civil war right there.
Al-Qaeda-stan.
Al-Qaeda, Cyrenaica, Benghazi, these places, right? So a terrorist state, the new Barbary Pirates, if you want, on the southern coast of the Mediterranean. Very bad for Europe. Very bad for shipping in the Mediterranean. But the general idea is that the Chinese must be kicked out at all costs. And since the Chinese support existing governments wherever they are, whatever they are, the United States and the British have to destroy all the existing governments. And Uganda, Rwanda, and Burundi are key parts of that effort. In other words, they're sort of the indigenous troops. But, of course, there's more. There's also Kenya, right? Obama's ancestral home, where he's got these deals with his cousin Odinga. Somalia, right? There's been military action between Somalia.
So as you said 3.5 years ago, all of Africa, a battlefield on fire. But let's go back, since you were just mentioning, this larger program. For people out there, then, what's the long-term goal?
It is the destruction of every independent state, secessionism, warlords, chaos, right? If you go to the Arab world, as I've found, you hear words from the Bush years that maybe we didn't pay enough attention to. Condoleezza Rice in 2005 began talking about creative chaos. And everybody in the Arab world knew that that meant that their countries were going to be destroyed, split into pieces, or as Brzezinski calls it, Brzezinski has his own term, microstates and mini states. So anybody who's a secessionist, anybody who's a warlord, anybody who wants, rump states or things like this, that's exactly the imperialist program. Now, maybe we go back to the question of the support, though, because you have this group, the Invisible Children, and their TRI fundraising arm. We would have to say that in objective terms, this is functioning as a kind of propaganda arm or cheering section for the U.S. AFRICOM and their desire to partially invade Uganda, but use Uganda, build up Uganda for this task of destroying, as they have to every 10 years or so, destroying all of those countries. And if you look at that area on the map, around Lake Victoria, right, the Lakes District of Africa, that's where everything comes together. You got Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi, Kenya, Somalia.
It's the center of the chessboard strategically.
About a dozen countries, more or less, in that area. But now, from the U.S. point of view, you've got George Clooney. You've got all of these Hollywood characters, right?
The fake liberal fascist.
Yeah, and mushheads and whatever. This is the thing that Obama has been able to do, and this was also another important theme of that book, Obama, the Postmodern Coup. When you had Bush and Cheney after 9/11, Bush was once asked, what should the American people do now that there's this huge terror emergency, which, of course, we know is a fraud? And Bush said, go to the shopping center, go to the mall and buy a bunch of stuff and keep the economy going. There were left liberal elites, left liberal warmonger elites that were beside themselves in rage when they heard that. And it's not because they didn't like war. They wanted total war. They wanted more than Bush was able or willing to give them. One of the people here is this Samantha Power. She's now sitting in the White House, right? She's one of the people running the color revolutions across the world. Samantha Power was on the phone with Tantawi and Inan, right, the generals in Egypt, telling them, get Mubarak out, follow orders, you bums, or, you know, you'll be next, and all this stuff. Samantha Power wanted Bush to say, total war, total sacrifice, total mobilization, not go and buy yourself something nice at the mall. And now you see, under Bush and Cheney, it was enough if you were sort of passively supporting imperialism, right? All you had to do was to vote, you know, for Bush, Cheney, neocon candidates.
No, now Obama is arresting hundreds of reporters, Espionage Act, arresting whistleblowers, NDAA, secret arrest of citizens. We're going to censor the web. They march into Congress and say, you don't declare war. UN and NATO does it now. I mean, it is reaching just, but because he's a liberal and because right. he has darker skin, it's like, you know, he could start worshiping Hitler and it'd be okay now because it's like he's liberal. I mean, it's just like murder everybody. He's liberal.
I would say Mussolini is more up his alley, but that, we can handle that another time. But you see what he's been able to do. 5 years ago, the campuses where Invisible Children is now recruiting and getting money were hotbeds of anti-war, anti-Bush Cheney, pro-impeachment.
Now they're taking the left over to make them pro-war.
Exactly.
The new anti-war activism is proxy war, proxy state, civil war, genocide. And the new trendy thing is to support new genocides because there's some phantom guy with 500 followers in the jungle somewhere. Let's kill another 7 mil.
Right. And of course, again, the fact that the International Criminal Court only seems to be interested in people that are black or at least brown is also another giveaway. But now you've got Invisible Children going on campus and organizing college kids, privileged youth in many ways, to demand war. So this is a huge transition from the passive acceptance of imperialist crimes under Bush Cheney to the active participation. I mean, maybe the next step would be, you know, form an international brigade, you know, send volunteers. Who knows what it is, right? But more and more mobilization for aggression, for war, for the imposition of these imperialist policies. And, of course, totally mindless. Why is there a crisis in Uganda? Well, you know, they had Idi Amin. Idi Amin was backed by the U.S. and the British as long as he was in power. Then they decided to dump him. Then you had Obote. Then you had a couple of other people in the meantime. And one of them was an Acholi. And then when the Acholi was thrown out, in comes Museveni.
Sure.
And then the Acholi say, well, then we're going to have to defend ourselves. And that's really the origin of this crazy.
All right, let me stop you right there then. Because let's go back here. I remember seeing documents from the late 40s after World War II when Africa wanted freedom, wanted to throw off colonialism, where they, going back to Prince Philip and, of course, then Queen of the Netherlands' husband, Prince Bernhard, they set up World Wildlife Fund. They set up all these groups, and I've seen the declassified documents. I've covered them, where they, all the way down to the middle of Africa and then over towards the east, down the rift, they got the countries to set up nature preserves, but in some cases that were more than 20% of the countries. But it was contiguous as a green belt, a migration corridor, not for animals and elephants and things and giraffes, but for troops and rebel forces to overthrow countries that didn't play ball. So they play both ends. They play the rebels, then they also play the governments that work with them, all part of an overall strategy of destabilization. How does that tie into it, and how are things going for the New World Order? I mean, you've been to Iran recently, you've been to Libya, you've been to Syria, I mean, you've been everywhere, you've witnessed it. How is the overall program going for them with the Russians vetoing, you know, the UN program to go into, I mean, they're already doing it through proxies, but to do it with airstrikes, you know, part two of Libya in Syria. So now they're saying, well, we'll just go it alone. I mean, how are things going for them? But first, the use of nature corridors as rebel force bases.
Well, that's, of course, the founders of the World Wildlife Fund, Prince Philip and Prince Bernard of the Netherlands. Let's remember, Prince Bernard of the Netherlands was actually a German nobleman who was officially, on paper, card-carrying member of the Nazi SA, the brown shirts, the Sturmabteilung, and of the black-shirted SS, where he was part of the noble, you know, aristocratic branch, right? The Reiter SS. So that's Bernard. So they after World War II, they discovered that the way to go is radical ecologism. And as you say, they built up all of those nature parks. And a lot of times the nature parks were astride borders. In other words, there'd be a nature park on one side, and then on the other side of the border, some other country, there'd be another nature park. And it meant that the smuggling routes could go through these parks, and Philip and Bernard could get their cut. Philip, of course, is somebody who's got a whole history of collaboration in that sense back in his biography, which we didn't hear about when we had the royal wedding this past summer. So, that's one thing. Now, obviously today you need different methods. They've gone through this huge war in this area around the lakes, around Congo. Congo, of course, very important. Katanga province has the minerals. Zimbabwe in the south. You'll be hearing about them too, right? The U.S. and the British still want to get the government of Zimbabwe overthrown, right? Mugabe is their enemy because Mugabe is, whatever he is, he's stable and he deals with the Chinese. And similarly for these other countries. So I think you can assume right now that there are U.S. troops and U.S. drones flying in all of those places. I mean, they're not going to respect borders in that area. So
well, the White House has said that they'll kill anybody anywhere in the world. More than 20,000 drones operating, killing 24/7. And they say they'll kill citizens here with them if they want.
Right. Now, in terms of the big picture, the Anglo-Americans are apoplectic because they have been blocked. Putin is now the president-elect of Russia. And Putin, after this prolonged period of appeasement and weakness that we had with Medvedev, Putin has taken a clear stand, I think.
Let me stop you. So Medvedev was not just a placeholder for Putin. I mean, what's your evidence of that? Because they were little buddy boys.
Yeah. Look, at that level of power, there's no such thing as a close personal friendship, really, because as soon as you had the entire imperialist world, right, the U.S., the British, the continental European puppet states, all of them piling in favor of Medvedev, it meant that Medvedev had power, and he's responsible.
And he had the hamburger summit, so he, who you think he bought into it?
Yeah, degraded. Look, that's why the ruling parties lost the election in early December. Putin was not on the ballot. Medvedev was. Medvedev of hamburger diplomacy, cavorting with Obama, fawning on Gates and Jobs and these ripoff artists of Silicon Valley. The average Russian is just disgusted by that. So, thank goodness, Michael McFaul, the guy who ran the destabilization of Egypt, among other things, Michael McFaul was sent as the U.S. ambassador to Moscow in January. His task was throw together, improvise a color revolution. They called it the White Revolution. Inside the country, it was called the Orange Revolution. I had a chance to talk to a very interesting Russian by the name of Maxim Shevchenko. It's very interesting. On one day in the first week of February, there was an anti-Putin demonstration of about 50,000 people in Moscow, and that there was a demonstration of 150,000 people at Victory Park, Poklonaya Hill outside Moscow, that was addressed by this guy Shevchenko and some others. It was three times bigger. The U.S. media didn't report that, and this was pro-Putin, but critically pro-Putin. It was not, you know, blank check for
Putin.
But
let me stop you for a minute. I had Colonel Anthony Schaefer, who's, you know, high-level intelligence connections, and he said, A, these wars are illegal, are treason, whatever the evidence, but he also said yes. And he said a lot of folks in the Pentagon say, leave Russia alone. They're not trying to be expansionist. Why mess with them? Why poke them? And that a lot of Pentagon folks think messing with Russia will make them actually get behind hardliners. So again, when the Pentagon's speaking out, or sources are, what's the stratagem then to mess and poke with Russia? Because history shows Russia only unifies when it's under attack. and that this isn't going to work. And then the West admitted they're trying to do a color revolution and disrupt their elections over there. I mean, and it obviously didn't work.
Yeah, the word orange, right? Orange means the Kiev color revolution of 2004. Orange in Russian is bad. It's like, you know, yellow, right? It's a bad color to be. So there was an anti-orange movement. The thing with Russia now is Russia has drawn a red line around Syria, as far as I can see. Medvedev refused to draw a red line around Libya, although he could have. And the ambassador Chamov said to him, "You're a traitor." And this guy Shevchenko that I'm telling you about went on Russian state television and said, "Medvedev has committed a crime." And Shevchenko was fired. Well, now Shevchenko is back. So he's on Moscow television most nights. So the idea is the only thing, and it's the only thing, stopping the U.S., the British, NATO, and the Israelis from launching an attack on Syria and Iran is the fact that Putin is back. The Russians have sent their fleet to Tartus, right? The port. I've seen the port.
And the Russian stock market's up.
Well, the Russians have also delivered, we believe, these S-300 surface-to-air missiles, probably the most capable system in the world. The Russians are providing intelligence, right? They help along with the electronic monitoring and the radar stations and so forth. So if you attack Syria, this is not the cakewalk that the Anglo-Americans like to have. And I believe this is what's stopping them. So the fact that Putin has been reelected, I must say, is the best thing that's happened in the world in quite a while. But I think he needs to do more. I'm not here just to say, you know, go Putin, but he needs to take some important steps. We're on the verge of a war in the Middle East. We've got to have an initiative for a Middle East peace conference or something of that type. Putin right now is the most prestigious leader in the world, bar none. In the broad world, right? Not in the world of CBS News, maybe, but out there in the real world, yes. What he needs to do is to take that political capital and use it. Let's have a general peace conference, right? The Israelis say they feel threatened. I'm sure they do. How about the Iranians? They feel threatened too. Go to the table. Lebanon needs to be.
All right, well, I know you like Putty Poo, but I watched him go along with all these other wars. You know, very corrupt system over there as well. I'm asking you,
not even the question.
How are things going but let's expand. Euro is in the middle of this, collapsing, but into this global banker receivership of fraud. They're openly butchering the Bill of Rights publicly in the United States. What's the larger global order? I mean, you're saying that the Anglo-American banker establishment is freaking out. Why are they freaking out? Where do you see things going?
Well, the derivative castle, right? The house of cards of $1.5 to $2 quadrillion of bankrupt, kited, insolvent derivatives. This is permanently on the brink, right? And their demand is always increase the looting rate, increase the rate of exploitation in the third world. And if governments get in the way, as they necessarily do, smash the governments. So right now, though, I think we can look at it internationally. If you look at the UN General Assembly in that vote on the anti-Syria resolution of about 2.5-3 weeks ago now, there were 12 no votes. Well, that was Russia, China, Iran, Syria, Venezuela, and their group, the ALBA group.
But those didn't count. I mean, only the Security Council votes counted of Russia and China.
Wait. I'm trying to show you the way the world is going. 12 no votes. There were 17 abstentions, some important countries there. And then there were 30 countries that just didn't show up, right? The Philippines. They just didn't show up. The heat was too great. They wanted to vote no or yes, but they couldn't take the heat. So there are about 60 countries, one third of the world, that despite the most intense arm twisting, blackmail, bribery and whatever else, were not supporting the imperialist resolution against Syria. Now that's a sign of the times. Once you've said Russia, China, that's half the world, right? The biggest country geographically, biggest country demographically, Iran, leading Muslim state, Venezuela, leading South American state, go through the list, right? All kinds of countries that could not see their way to support this monstrosity. So I think that's a real change. One third of the world is not playing ball with the Anglo-Americans in some way.
Well, I want to be clear. The Anglo-Americans are not pro-America. They're not pro-Europe. They're not pro-liberty. In closing,
right.
Euro, open world government run by private banks, all being announced. everything else that's happening over there, admissions that we're going into a deeper depression, long-term view. Where's all this going?
Well, again, you always say take the subjective factor out, and I can't because, you know, some of us are here and you're here and we're all here. I think what you need is a movement to break the power of finance capital, and that's to break the power of Wall Street finance capital, and I think that could emerge at any point. There's certainly plenty of masses in motion in Europe, here in the United States. We've got all kinds of struggles going on against the fascist governors of the Midwestern states. Let's take Michigan, right? If you don't like dictatorship, you're not going to like Governor Snyder of Michigan because he wants to, he's got a law where he says he can become the dictator of Detroit and Flint and Grand Rapids and Traverse City and all those places in Michigan. He can be the dictator as soon as he says you're bankrupt, I'm taking you over, I'm sending in a commissar who's going to rule you by decree. So you're basically, you're talking about wiping out democracy.
Now let me add a caveat to that. It's not just Michigan. Rhode Island's doing it all over. This is the third world model where they induce you into fraud. The state signs you on to the derivatives and then they're coming in and taking control and saying no more city council or the city council can be administrative. I mean, this is corporate takeover.
Yes, I think that's the cutting edge of the struggle against dictatorship inside this country. And again, those blue collar workers out in the Midwest. The funny story, you know, you go overseas and they say, tell us about Occupy Wall Street. It started in September, right? And I say, no, it started with the occupation of Madison, Wisconsin back in February.
Sure, but the system co-opted that. But Webster, let me throw in.
It didn't. That's what the system tried to suppress. And then they give you this substitute, right, which is the petty bourgeoisie and the lumpen proletariat in the form of Occupy Wall Street with David Graeber and the Adbusters Institute, right? This is not what you need. Obviously, you need those people too, but not those leaders. So it seems to me you've got a mass strike process going on. You've got the ingredients there. You need what you always needed, program, leadership, some kind of organization and some kind of strategy. And at that point, you could make rapid progress.
All right. So I understand. I don't know if I subscribe to all those government solutions because it always gets taken over by a bunch of criminals.
I'm talking about mass struggle. I'm talking about the only possible way to go. I'm afraid we look at the presidential campaign. I don't see how anybody could go into it. I mean,
that's a pretty much decided thing more and more between Obama and Mitt Romney. We're going to have to discuss that at a future date, but we're out of time here. I want to ask you about the fact of Congress, who's been pro-war, pro-tyranny, pro-torture, pro-every form of corruption you can imagine, is now getting mad that Obama and SecDef Panetta and the rest of them are telling him, hey, we're going to launch wars without you now. You don't even matter. And Congress is finally freaking out. They're saying our authority is these international bodies themselves that are controlled by the central banks, the UN, NATO, groups like this. Why do you think the system's racing to put in a classical tyranny here in the United States?
Well, this is obviously the motor force comes from the economic breakdown crisis. In other words, the fact that the capital structures of New York and London are collapsing pushes them to demand, again, more loot, more exploitation, more sacking, downward pressure on the standard of living, bust all the unions, tear up the contracts, destroy the social safety net, use the proceeds for new and better bailouts, new and better subsidies for the rich and super rich. So that's the motor force that's doing it. But of course, that can very well provoke countervailing social movements, right? That's the history of the 20th century is that a super austerity policy will lead to a social explosion. And the big question then is who's going to lead the social explosion? Will somebody be there with leadership or are you going to get Adbusters, David Graeber, Michael Moore, Noam Chomsky and others that guarantee absolute defeat?
Controlled opposition.
Right. Sure.
Controlled left, controlled right.
If it's controlled, it controlled means it's going to be destroyed. I have to say with Occupy Wall Street, when you look at this now from retrospectively, the anarchists who took over Occupy Wall Street had really one program. They wanted to have a hippie commune in the park with no demands, no nothing, nothing political. They said, we're going to start living the new utopia, right? We're going to live the new world that we want in the park. And no demands, right? They're not going to do anything for working people. Not
sure,
for
but that's not even as bad as the new liberal calls for wars because there's some boogeyman off in the bushes there in Central Africa. Webster, Tarpley.net, author. Look forward to having you on the radio soon.
Thank you.
Thank you for spending time with us.
Good luck, Alex. See you soon.
We're going to go to break. Let me say bye to you during the break. Wow. I mean, love him or hate him, his overall analysis is spot on, and he's been all over the world. I got to get him back on about his trip to Iran. He also went to Syria. This guy has a lot of courage. And certainly what he's talking about with AFRICOM and this invasion is so real. We're going to come back and talk about the TSA didn't just block the video of an engineer exposing the fact that their scanners are a fraud and don't stop bombs. They're now telling members of the press, you don't talk to this guy if you know what's good for you. You don't talk to the press in America. This is land of the slave, home of the coward, New World Order Central. Well, we're extremists. We think in America there is a press. There is free speech. I'm sorry. I apologize. I believe there should be due process as well. I believe that you have a right to visit InfoWars.com. And if you believe in what we're doing, become a subscriber at PrisonPlanet.tv. We have 15-day free trials running right now. We'll be right back after this quick break with our next guest. He's the guy that runs the website TSA Out of Our Pants.
One is a serial hypocrite who lobbied for Freddie Mac before the housing crisis and for the individual mandate before Obamacare. Another, a counterfeit conservative who opposes right to work, massively increased spending, and funded Planned Parenthood. Finally, a flip-flopper who's been on all sides, supported TARP bailouts, and provided the blueprint for Obamacare. Three men, one vision, more big government, more mandates, less freedom. One man stands apart, ready to deliver real change, voting against every tax increase and every unbalanced budget every time. A real plan to cut $1 trillion year one and to balance the budget in three. Pro-life, pro-liberty, guided by faith and principle. Ron Paul, the one who will restore America now.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
With today's daily quote, because we're looking back at past war propaganda that led us to war, we give you something from William Randolph Hearst, the head of the Hearst Empire. You supply the pictures and I'll supply the war. He told a famous painter, what Remington that, go make me fake images of the Spanish engaged in massacres and I will supply the war. And that's what we're being given by George Clooney and all these other Kony 2012 groups, is that they're going to have them a good old war to take over more resources to stop some little nobody warlord and, well, help the dictator there in Uganda continue his operations. Absolutely disgusting. Now I want to shift gears into a speculative realm. I listened to this over and over again, and I want to know your view on this. I've heard a lot of comedians imitate Obama, and I've never heard anybody this good. This reportedly was released by an anonymous source a few days ago from Obama at a campaign event where he didn't know that the mic had been left on. We've seen many cases of that happening. I've listened to the voice over and over and over again, and it sounds like Barack Obama. Tell me what you think. But the point is, he says, yeah, Rick Santorum's out. It's going to be Romney. Yeah, you saw what they did to Paul in Maine, where it was certified fraud, even the New York Times admitted, and Iowa. I mean, it sounds like Obama. But he says, I don't blame the Republicans for cheating, Ron Paul. So we need to find out who recorded this, because here's the big telltale sign it's real. YouTube keeps pulling this everywhere, just like the TSA video they pulled yesterday. That's another big sign. If this isn't Obama, this person has a career as an impersonator. I'm here to tell you, because my ear, I mean, I've even had, you know, famous people call me up and pose as George Bush, and I can tell them, you know, who it is. I can tell. This is Obama, or it's a computer or something, because I've never heard something this good. And it sounds just like a open mic where he's off at a distance, doesn't know it's on. It's picking him up. You know, the question is, who is the tech that recorded this? We need to investigate this. That's why I'm showing it to the InfoWarriors. I'd say 5 percentage points out of 100 that this is not real. 95% this is Barack Obama admitting that Ron Paul was defrauded. Well, even the New York Times did that. Here it is. He's done. Ron Paul's done. Rick Santorum's done. The ringer that ran Bain Capital, that just supplied the head of Obama's economic team to Obama, you know, he's in charge. So there's the ringer. Obama's probably going to be back in, running against the Kendall, Mitt Romney, who I guess is going to get the United States of America if he becomes president, and I guess make this his own planet. But all of this is going on. And it's completely insane. And I hope that the InfoWarriors will look into this, because whether that's a real tape or not, we know Maine and Iowa were a fraud. And I see the Ron Paul campaign people, who were good folks, but, you know, on average are about 25 or so that run things. They're like, we can't believe he's winning in the polls and all this, but he's not winning anywhere, not one state, because it's fraud. You already saw it over and over again. I remember Ron Paul's brother in front of me contacted high-level campaign people when they stole Iowa, and they said, oh, it's preposterous. You know, there's no fraud. It's confirmed. And then Maine, they finally went, oh, there is fraud. Okay? There is fraud. Get that through your head. Ron Paul's not naive. He knows what's going on. But it's not a loss. He ran. He's educating people. But let's not be delusional. Okay? We're dealing with a bunch of criminals. Let's get into some other news here. Eugenicists want to sterilize Australian children without ever telling the kids' parents. Well, why not? Already in California, they give you abortions or Gardasil shots without parental consent. And they're already pushing in the U.S. and the big journal of bioethics that children be killed up to age 3. I mean, if you're not for that, you're an extremist. What's wrong with killing a 3-year-old, yeah? Even though they're perfectly healthy, it's trendy. But in the twisted minds of those who have seized positions of power all over the world, separating children from their parents and performing medical experiments on them in secret when you send your kids to public school, is fully acceptable form of medicine. And this form of child abuse is exactly what the WAMHC has proposed in its new mental health bill. Same stuff going on. I mean, they sterilized Native Americans when they went to public school and the reservation. Why not do it to the Australians? Why not to us? The sky's the limit. People are naive. The president says Congress can go fly a kite. Why not? You're all being trained to have the government put their filthy paws on you with the TSA. And hell, they're announcing internet censorship now. Why not take that child and sterilize them when they're in public school and the parents don't know? Parents don't like it? We'll send a SWAT team by. Got those everywhere. It's global standardization. Global, and if you don't like killing kids at age 3, you're with Al-Qaeda. Let's continue here, getting into the TSA, who train children to be abused by pedophiles everywhere. That's what they're training them for. is pedophile abuse, and it's all part of pedophile standardization. The New World Order basically is a bunch of pedophiles and warmongers and a collection of other vampiric-type individuals. Breaking, TSA threatens mainstream media not to cover story. We're going to talk to our guest about that. They censored his video, but now it's back up. TSA tacitly admits to $1 billion body scanner system is critically flawed. Well, it's not flawed. It makes Chertoff money. Federal agency savage for a weak response to viral video. Continuing, YouTube restricts video of engineer proving how useless TSA body scanners are. Man walked through radiation firing machines with metal objects knowing he would not be stopped. And the TSA made a big joke about it on their website. With more on that, we go to the TSA blog saying, hey, we protect you from stuff that goes boom, talking to you like you're a three-year-old paralyzed by fear. And with more of these incredible developments is the man of the hour himself, Jonathan Corbett, who is a technology entrepreneur, frequent traveler, and first person to sue the TSA after the nude body scanners and invasive pat-down program began in November of 2010. How dare him not want to put in radiation bathing machines? How dare him not want to actually pay a security fee to be groped? How dare him be involved? It's un-American. And we're joined by the thought criminal now because I see on your blog that you've actually confirmed with the media, and your story is in hundreds of newspapers, thousands of blogs right now, one of the biggest stories out there, that the TSA is contacting reporters and strongly urging them, warning them to stay away from you. So a new form of covert censorship. In fact, the quote there is strongly caution because you have an agenda. How dare you have an agenda to not want people to grab your testicles.
Yeah, that's right. I actually had another reporter ask me to differentiate myself from just someone that's angry. And I said, you know what? I am angry. You know, I do have an agenda. I want these body scanners gone. I don't want to have people touching me when I'm going through the security lines. So that is my goal. It's right out there. And yeah, like you said, the TSA is now intimidating reporters. You know, they've already trashed the Fourth and Fifth Amendment. So I think they're going for the First Amendment now.
Tell us the specifics of what you've got up on your blog, TSA, out of our pants. And, of course, we've got a link to that underneath you when you're speaking. Give us the details of this new development.
Yeah, basically, I was talking to a local mainstream media guy, reporter here in South Florida. And he was interviewing me. And, you know, in the middle of the interview, he starts asking me to respond to what the TSA was saying. And drops the bomb that the TSA told him that he shouldn't publish the story, that they strongly cautioned him against it, that I have an agenda, and that they shouldn't publish it.
Now, he sent you a copy of the email that they sent him. Why not just show the full deal? And, I mean, is the reporter scared that they might come get him? Because that's an agenda, too, wanting a First Amendment.
Well, I think he's more scared that they won't talk to him anymore, at the least. But yeah, the reporter would prefer to remain anonymous.
Wow, so now they're not just knocking down YouTube videos or blocking them, they're now trying to restrict the press. What do you think of the fact that after they blocked your video but realized it had already been seen over 800,000 times, that they took the YouTube block off?
I was greatly appreciative that at least it finally came around. You know, obviously it was the wrong move to put it there in the first place, and YouTube, you know, whether it's a community flagging or whether it's a YouTube staff flagging, they need to be on top of this. There's no reason it should have been censored for a full day. But it is up there, and the hit counter is slowly moving up.
Now, we do have the name of the TSA spokesperson, the group that masquerades as bonded sworn law enforcement, who did try to intimidate the journalist. That's on your blog. How do you pronounce this? Sari Koshitz?
Your guess is as good as mine. She is the regional TSA spokesperson down here in South Florida.
I mean, who do these people think they are? I've now confirmed that they have checkpoints all over the country years ago, but now they're rolling out in all 50 states, and they call themselves TSA inspectors, and they're not even FBI. It's one thing when the FBI's out of a jurisdiction. That's bad enough. Now just these people masquerading as police, and members of Congress have pointed this out, unbonded, unsworn, untrained, are now just showing up and commanding the police as if they're God.
Yeah, there's a lot of TSA getting outside of the airports, and that's one of the important things to remember is that if you don't fight these body scanners and pat downs now, they're coming to you even if you don't fly. So, you know, the apathy is not a good plan. They've already deployed these, what they call Viper teams, V-I-P-R, to train stations, to Greyhound stations. They're even going to subways now. So, you know, if we don't fight back in the airports, expect it to just grow.
There's a separate story that was our top story tonight on the nightly news where the Secretary of Defense, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, they went before Congress yesterday, and Congress said, you know, you need our authority to help launch a war in Syria. And, you know, Libya was illegal, and they just say, no, Congress has no authority. We get our authority from the UN and NATO. And the congressmen and senators were like, but here's the Constitution. And they just said, we don't care. To me, that is a total coup by a foreign organization through the federal government and our military, and it's not even getting that much attention. And then you add to that the TSA grabbing people's genitals, microwaving people. I mean, since when did America become like a cartoon police state?
You know, it does seem like every agency under this present administration is going that direction. And all the blame can't be placed there. You know, a lot of this is set up by the previous regime. But, you know, the person that's in power now is responsible for what happens under his watch.
Well, sure. These presidents now are totally put in power by the big banks and foreign special interests. And that's why if Obama isn't elected and it's Mitt Romney, everybody's going to see the exact same acceleration. And then if a Democrat gets back in, same acceleration. Earlier we played a off the mic clip of what does sound like Obama, where a open mic was there, but he didn't know it was on, talking about, yeah, they're blocking Rick Santorum. Yeah, they're going to put Romney in. Yeah, you saw what they did to Paul whenever he was in Maine. I don't blame them. Maine and Iowa were clearly frauds and have been admitted frauds. And now the Ron Paul campaign, some of the younger folks that run his campaign are like, we can't believe we're not winning when the polls show we should have been winning early on. What they don't get is that there's fraud. I mean, how naive do we have to be about this?
Yeah, and I agree that the larger problem beyond the TSA is just a general disrespect for the Constitution in general. You know, the government's rights are limited by this document or should be limited by this document, and we're just not seeing it anymore, and we need to.
How creepy is it to have the TSA say, don't interview this guy, he has an agenda, we strongly recommend, don't, I mean, what country do they think they're in where you're bad because you have an agenda called freedom and not being groped like you're being inducted into prison every time you travel?
No, I think the TSA might have a monopoly on creepy in the federal government. You know, ever since I filed that lawsuit, it's just the stuff that comes out of their mouths never ceases to amaze me. When I first filed it, their response was, that's what a terrorist would say. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that an American that comes and asks their government for, you know, for their rights should not be described as a terrorist or even compared as such.
I forgot they did that. Oh, yeah, asking for your rights is terrorism. Of course, you should ask them, hey, why'd the feds demand and pressure the State Department to get the underwear bomber on Christmas Day on the plane?
You know, I would love to, and if I ever get discovery in court, that will be on my list of things to ask.
So your lawsuit's been going on for, what, a year and a half or so?
Correct.
Well, I tell you, you're doing a great job when it comes to shedding light on these guys, and they're losing the information war. I mean, everyone I know hates the TSA, and last year, all of these state reps I interviewed who watched their wife and children be groped and won't fly now, they unanimously in the House said, we're getting rid of the TSA. Near unanimous in the Senate, and the Fed said, we'll have an armed air blockade of Texas. And I've talked to military officers that said that was actually being prepared. If Texas dare say, we're enforcing our laws, don't grab people's genitals. I mean, it is beyond 1984. It is Twilight Zone. What do you think of what happened in Texas where the Fed said, we'll have an armed blockade?
Well, Alex, I kind of caved. I mean, that doesn't seem like the Texas spirit to me. But, you know, we got to call the government on this nonsense. Are they really going to blockade an entire state? And if they do, even if they do grow the balls to do that, what are the repercussions for that? You know, the rest of the country isn't going to stand for it.
Well, the Republic is in deep trouble, but it will rise again thanks to people like yourself. What comes next in your resistance to people that want to turn you into a prisoner in your own country?
Well, I mean, right now the ball is in the TSA's court. We had the knee-jerk response that they posted on their blog, which basically just made fun of the video work and, you know, failed to actually deny the claims that were made in my video. So it's up to them to see what they're going to do next. Are they going to remove the scanners? Are they going to ignore it? Are they going to say that I was wrong? Are they going to try and prove me wrong? I don't know where they're going to go with it. So that's the next step.
Well, they don't follow the law, as you know, that you've got to have a radiation officer there with a badge. You've got to test these machines. Congress for 2 years has wanted those readings. They gave them fake readings, got caught doing that. They lied and said John Hopkins said it was safe. The head of the radiology department said, we did a study and it shows it's deadly. So they just lie. They say they're not going to grope people under 12 and then keep doing it. First they said they weren't groping. All they do is lie and rob and steal. I mean, who else would want this type of job? So they're so incredibly lawless. They're not bonded police. I saw a Forbes article last week where even a congresswoman wrote an article and said, TSA coming to a highway near you. And she pointed out, they're not even peace officers. Peace officers can't grope you and do all this without probable cause. How are they doing it? And I think that's why the federal government's so behind the TSA, because if they can get away with this, they can do anything.
That's correct. I actually made that point to a police officer who was nice enough to escort me out of RSW Airport in Fort Myers, Florida, after I wouldn't let the TSA grope me. I said to him, you know, if you tried to do anything the TSA just did, you'd be in trouble. You guys would get sued and you'd lose. And, you know, the TSA thinks that they have authority beyond police officers, and that's not what this limited administrative search in the airports is supposed to be or constitutionally can be. It's supposed to be the minimally invasive search required to determine if you have weapons, explosives, incendiaries, and that's it, and no more.
It was always meant to be a beachhead or a total federal power grab outside of law. I mean, if you go back, they modeled it off J. Edgar Hoover. Until the 20s, FBI agents couldn't even carry guns, and J. Edgar Hoover explained, citizens can carry guns under citizens' arrest power. So we're going to get around the fact that the FBI has no armed jurisdiction outside of the district of, you know, criminals and the coastlines and things. We're going to get around that by citizens' arrest. And that's how they had personal firearms for over a decade when he first set up and ran the Bureau. And this is all history.
That reminds me of the TSA and their constant battle in the war on drugs. The TSA all the time is posting on their blogs how they just, you know, had a good catch of, you know, someone with a joint in their pocket. That's not the TSA's mission. You know, these drug fines are obfuscating the point that their mission is safety only.
Well, look, they use the rubric of safety to power grab. Truth is, they work for the military-industrial complex, the stage 9/11 and all the rest of it. And I don't know your view on that, but certainly no one can deny the war on terror has been used to target the American people and take our liberties. Your take on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even just the response from the TSA on their blog seemed to be another episode of fear-mongering. They actually use the words, we protect you from things that go boom, which seems like a completely immature and irresponsible.
Well, they were talking to us like we're three. They do that on purpose to dumb the language down. We protect you, thing go boom. Yeah. We put hand in diaper, old lady, keep you safe.
Yeah, and you have to wonder whether they actually believe it or not. I just don't understand how they, you know, get up and they raise themselves up to actually post this stuff.
Let me ask you this final question. Any other points you want to make here? Out of all the outrages, making women drink their own breast milk, making women pump breast milk out to prove, you know, that I guess the breasts aren't Al-Qaeda, now they are talking actually about doing full-body x-rays for breast bombs. Nexus proctology exams are actually talking about, they've talked about making people wear taser bracelets. TSA actually had meetings with the makers saying, yeah, everyone will wear a bracelet. So guilty until proven slave, guilty until proven guilty. We're just all guilty except for them and all the crimes they're committing. What's the most outrageous? Taking six-month-old babies' diapers off and men fondling their genitals?
It's pretty tough. I'll tell you, Andrea Abbott's story, she got arrested in Tennessee Airport several months ago for not letting the TSA grope her daughter. That was pretty bad. There have been blatant abuses of people that have just been recording the checkpoint using a camera that have been arrested for that. Obviously, the old ladies in New York, the three in a row that came a month or so ago and said that the TSA literally made them take off their pants and underwear. That's pretty bad. You know, I got a feel for all the children that are going to be, you know, conditioned to be touched by people as a result of their parents telling them it's okay for the TSA to touch them.
Yeah, they're learning, and many top psychologists have said this is training them that someone in a uniform can grope you. This is pedophile training, and of course, a lot of the TSAs turned out are pedophiles. Who else wants the job? I mean, grabbing men, women, children all day, but a perv or a control freak. And of course, they call the old ladies liars until hundreds came out. And they said, yeah, we do take you behind closed doors and take your clothes off, but we don't call that a strip search.
Yeah, well, my prayer was if they're going to try and take me to jail for this one, that maybe I'll end up sharing a cell with the TSA agents. So
out of it all, I tend to agree with you. I think the greatest abuse is the pedophile training, because I was reading about Sandusky and pedophiles and their criminology. They'll do that with kids to find out if they've been abused before. They do this test touch. And I guess, what should you call the TSA? Tyranny, snake, assault. I mean, there's so many names for them. Training for sexual assault, total sexual assault.
I mean, I feel like the TSA is kind of a big test touch on America to see what the government can do to us. It shocked me that when these body scanners came out, that Americans were willing to let their government essentially photograph them naked. But it's been heartening to see that sentiment is largely gone. When my original lawsuit came out, there were a lot of comments, most of them good, but some of them didn't understand why it's a big deal for the government to do this. And now if you go to pretty much any news website now and read the comments, no one's happy with the TSA. America is waking up.
You know, you just really hit on something key. This is a giant test touch. I've called it slave training, dog training, acclimation, but that's what it is. And they admit it's to prepare us for forced inoculation, for arrest of the general public. I mean, they want to get in our space, and they know what they're doing, and it is total sexual assault. That's what TSA stands for. What are some of the little acronym names you've got for them?
they are a dime a dozen. Someone just sent me a new one that was, we should rename it from TSA to SDA, Security Theater Administration. I kind of like that one. So they're all over the internet if you'd like to go find them. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It is conditioning. And, watching those videos you put out last month about the FEMA camps, kind of puts it in perspective that, this, even if it doesn't really bother you to have the government look at you naked, it is the next step.
I had military officers on today. Well, it's training the police and military to do this. They're now using TSA violation. Police are now adopting it, going, well, we're going to grope you without a warrant or without arrest because, they're doing it. And now TSA, you saw in New Mexico where they train now at the high schools how to grope people. They're the trainers.
It's terrible. I'll tell you, last year I was stopped and frisked by the NYPD, which is another big human rights abuse that you can find in New York City. And even their pat down or frisk was nothing compared to the TSA. The TSA truly just likes to touch you everywhere.
Well, they're there to push boundaries, move the Overton window. In fact, I was reading where there's hundreds of thousands a year of stop and frisk where they just randomly pull you over or you pull up to checkpoints. I've pulled up to them but not been searched. I just looked in. But I've talked to people where now they search your car and jerk you out. I mean, this is just a total takeover. We're in so much trouble. Well, people can find out more and see the media intimidation at tsaoutofourpants.wordpress.com. Thank you so much for spending time with us. Anything else you'd like to add?
Thanks, Alec. I appreciate you having us on.
Thank you, sir. All right, folks. That is it for this gigantic edition of InfoWars Nightly News. I mean, we just cover so much every night, and I wish I was a radical. I wish I'd been wrong about all this over the years. Believe me, but unfortunately, it's all coming true and worse than I even thought. But the only answer to this 1984 society is 1776, and it's a mental awakening, a mental rebellion and resistance to tyranny. So if you're watching this transmission, you are the resistance.